Welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler. Well, with a trip to Burnley last Sunday, saw Wolves with a much improved performance than the previous game against Newcastle, but ultimately ended in the same result. Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter, Tony Cullen and myself have a chat about what happened and our thoughts on the game and where we're going from here. Hope you enjoy it. Mr. Cullen, how are you?
All right. Yeah, sore back.
Yeah, the back seems to be trouble for Wolves as well.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Last, I'm glad I wasn't at it. But,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think Burnley is probably a depressing place at the best of times, no?
Well, and what, like, I remember we were at their home match and they were just horrendous, played for the draw, so.
Yeah, and the amount of time wasting. It's funny, actually, not Wolves related, but I thought it was brilliant watching Liverpool and Everton yesterday, and the fans. Alisson made the save. Well, he caught the ball near the end of the game. he just fell to the ground with it, you know. And the crowd just,
you know, that's what Pickford does all the time, you know.
And everybody got it. Everybody got what he was doing. Just
taking a piss. Pickford, yeah.
I'd have loved us to be able to do that yesterday, because the Burnley key, I think it's probably takes up a hell of a lot of training time with Burnley, you know, that sort of time waste. And certain days when we played them at home, it was rotten. But Gary, Michael.
How you doing, lads?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're all in good form, we see. Yeah, it was wasn't what I was expecting to see after a long night on Saturday night. Sunday morning.
What was the journey like?
No, I wasn't over. None of us were over in the end of it. My journey was from Newbridge home. I didn't get to bed till 5:30 on Sunday morning, so I got up around 10:30, had a breakfast and headed home. Sat down, thought looking forward to a game. Well, I mean, you can never be optimistic playing Burnley anyway, but what did you suppose starting off, and what did you think of the lineup? Again, I think you say every week it was probably much the same, but I assume Podence still has an injury of some sort, is he? A long term one? Anyone know?
Yeah, the problem with the toe, with the big toe, I think.
Yeah.
And that'll take a while. It could be a break on it, because he did get a couple of clatters of the toe in the last couple of games, you know?
Yeah.
So it is sore, I believe, you know? So he'll be glass.
Yeah, what do you think of the lineup? Was it a kind of a steady as she goes? I mean, with Kilman not being in the team either, like, you kind of, you know, and Johnny instead of Marcel, so or and Aidan Nouri, you know, so was it a kind of a what seems to be the common team now of a kind of a you will play a steady team against a team you probably should be attacking more? But what were your views on?
The minute I was saying Wang was in it. And when he was trying to play, you knew we were in trouble.
Yeah.
You don't play that tactics in Burnley. There's no chance.
Yeah, I know a lot of talk during the week. People were saying, you know, we have to match Burnley physically and all that. Like, but that there's no team that will bother. I don't think we'll bother doing that sort of thing. But I mean, it was a decent enough team. I mean, as you say, Wang probably. But you know, I was thinking of it actually after, like, disappointed at the end of it that Chiquinho didn't get a run near the end rather than Trinkau. But just on the lineup itself, Gary, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought he was good. I thought he was probably the best. I know you could say, would you put Neto in from the start? I think it proved it was just as well we didn't.
Yeah.
And to me, Trinkau is still, even though he scored a couple of goals recently, he's still quite windy. You know, so I thought the team was good, and I thought the first half performance justified the team and the attacking nature of it. I thought some of the passages of play in the first half were really good, working our way up through the lines and made some, you know, got the ball across the 6-yard box, but we just don't have a Van Nistelrooy, do we? Or, you know, we don't have someone tapping the ball in. But I thought they constructed the chances well. I thought Johnny had a very good game, and Semedo. I was glad to see him back in. So all in all, I had no complaints. I was happy to see Dendonka back in.
Yeah.
I suppose it was I was delighted that Silver got the nod for centre forward.
Yeah.
I know it seemed a bit strange with Jimenez on the right, but I thought that was worth a go, like, you know.
Yeah.
And as I say, I think the first half performance was very good and probably justified the selection.
Yeah.
As it was in the day, you know.
I'd agree with that myself. Yeah. Tony, what were your thoughts when you saw the lineup for the game?
Well, I the game had started when I flicked it on because I had difficulties getting the game anyway, and but I kind of could soon see the lineup, and I think probably I'd agree with Gary. I think Trincão is probably a bit lightweight to put up against Burnley.
Yeah.
So what other options did he have other than pushing up defenders and bringing on, you know, wing backs? So I think probably it was the best team. I think we were badly missing Podence, just as a spark to the team. But I thought we started off pretty good.
Yeah.
And as Gary says, there's we had three or four kind of half decent chances, but just couldn't put the ball in the net. There was one ball came across the box. I think it was to Jimenez, and he was nowhere near getting it.
Yeah. Mick, what were your thoughts? I thought at half time, you know, it was a good first half. We did everything but put the ball in the net, and there was certainly nothing. I mean, Burnley, I thought, had a kind of a cagey approach that they weren't going to, you know, they had a good go at Southampton the other night, but I did certainly struck me that they were happy enough. They didn't want to take a chance on trying to score. They were more interested in kind of a point with the way the league table was looking. A point would have been more than happy. They would have been more than happy with that, you know. But goals have been our problem lately. And Mick, well, as the first half went on,
I'd agree with most of the stuff that was said there, but we definitely set up wrong against Burnley. And I keep saying this, the way we played right into Burnley's hands. We played with three up front. So we pushed the three front fellas forward, which made it quite easy for Burnley to sit back there. And when we knocked the ball up, we weren't able to get turned. And we got around them once or twice. We had the forward in the middle. Now, the team he picked, they wouldn't have a lot of problems, but I think he should have gone with the five or six in the middle. No. Silva, that's definitely this play up front. I thought he'd done very, very well. But to play and beat a team like Burnley, you've got to get in behind them.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that. So what we were doing, there was a perfect instance, what I'm trying to say, in the first half. I thought Silva was the best player we had in the park, and he took him off. We won the ball back in our defence, and we're on a break. And Silva was in around the centre midfield, right? Yeah. And he made a break over to the right corner. And as he pulled the defender with him, the ball was knocked up the line. And what happened was Jimenez got up the line with his defender. So when Silva got up there, he had to contend with the two fucking centre backs plus things. So they don't seem to have worked in this. Now, what normally happens with the one up front, Silva would have made that run.
Yeah.
Then what happens is there's a huge opening in the middle of the field. And that's where Trincão comes in, good into it.
Yeah.
What you call it? Those lads come forward fast from the middle.
Yeah.
And take a look at Johnny. He was saying there a couple of weeks ago, Johnny got up and got one or two goals. Johnny then has the confidence of getting up, because I wouldn't have started with Jimenez, and I wouldn't have started with the Korean Wang.
Yeah.
I would have started with Ike Neary, along with Johnny that side. And Johnny would get forward. He's not afraid when they have the cover there. And I think that's the way you tackle Burnley. Now, they were happy in the first half, you say. They were happy to sit back and absorb it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And as you say there, we did get in once or twice, and we passed the ball. But we didn't have fellas in the box, because we'd four fellas in the midfield being overrun, trying to work that ball off. And I'm saying this because if you go back to the games that we're winning and we're scoring goals, we play with that system.
Yeah.
So to me, to go out and play with that three up front was a no-no. And you know, there wasn't much between the both sides. We had a better chance. We had more of possession in the first half.
Yeah.
But as soon as you took Silva off, I just could not understand that. Yeah, the best player we had on the pitch. How about Paddock Fillet with the fucking team?
I thought definitely Hwang for, I don't know, Sonny might be able to tell me how many games in a row now, and he's played a hell of a lot of he's been in a lot of games in the last few weeks, but I mean, I haven't seen anything. He had one shot against Newcastle, which was pick up for the keeper, and I think he had one yesterday that didn't really cause much trouble either. But he just, I mean, you know, even yesterday, like my big criticism of him is, been always defensive conscious in my own way of looking at games, was that in even when he was scoring goals, he was terrible for giving ball away in that gap in between the halfway and their goal, that middle toward the pitch, awful for giving the ball away. He did it a couple of times yesterday, and but like I don't understand. He seems to be a constant in the team now, but he hasn't done anything. As you say, Mick. Bruno is obviously sticking with that kind of formation and setup that he's using now.
We're losing games with it,
Johnny. What I was thinking was, you know, when the substitution was called, it's just after half time when we saw they kicked off and we saw that there was no change. You know, Shane and Garrett and myself were talking. Would you have actually changed anything at half time?
Yeah.
And like, I think, well, the conclusion between the three of us was that we wouldn't, because we had dominated the first half, and you know, why would you, when you dominated the first half, why would you make a change?
Yeah.
Well, now, when the change was called, my automatic feeling was that it was going to be a straight swap. Because if you had to pick one out of the 11 in the first half that wasn't as good as the others would say, it would have been Hwang.
Yeah.
So when the sub was called, I automatically felt straight swap Neto for Hwang. Yeah. And I was taken back when he called Silva. Silva had played really well. It worked hard.
And I'd agree with that, Gar, because I'd say, you know, for two reasons. Hwang wasn't playing well. And the second reason was that it was actually the position. You weren't disrupting the formation. Neto would probably do a lot more running and come back deeper, as he did the first game. He had a shot from the halfway line. Can't remember where it was, but the first game he came back when he came out for 10 minutes. But like, he would have been, you know, he would ideal position for him, and he would have caught, well, he couldn't have been less of a threat than Hwang was, as far as I could see. But like, in the second half, I mean, I definitely got the feeling once when they scored a goal, you know, the first half had it all written over, nil all. We didn't score. And, geez, you know, going into the second half then thinking, you know, if we don't score early on, and if Burnley score, that's it, you know. And I think after they scored, I think we actually fell apart, really, after they scored. We didn't really have a chance. What do you think about it?
But I thought of the change, I'd gone with Gary there. I thought he was going to take Hwang off. Yeah. And even play with the two up front, what you call them, Silva and Jimenez.
Yeah.
And they would have given us the width, the wide, put an extra midfielder on and let's attack them wide. And that's the right time he was going to do. But I think what was interesting was, and it took me a couple of seconds to realise, when he made the change, the build that was going on, I thought it was from Burnley fans. And it must have been every bloody Wolves fans in the ground. They built the substitution.
Yeah, I didn't hear that now, but I remember you saying it yesterday.
It was to me. Now, I actually thought it was that loud that was their fans that was doing it. It was our fans that were building the substitutions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can see through a lot of the posts there, a lot of people were mystified by that substitution.
Yeah, yeah.
They couldn't justify it. And the man has lost the plot, in my opinion. I honestly do. That's six defeats now in 9. And that's coming near second.
In fairness now, you know, the lads that were, I heard that it was booing all right, you know, but I mean, you know what fans are like. I mean, the same fellas were probably moaning every time Silva came off in the last 10 minutes of the game as well, there, a couple of weeks ago, you know.
If you'd have been there, Tony, and I'd been there, we'd have been booing too, because it was an absolutely ridiculous
Mick,
decision to take him ashore.
I don't boo, Mick. I don't boo my own team.
Okay, I know.
The only thing I'd say about it, Tony and Mick, the only thing I'd say about is that, I don't think that decision cost us the game. Like, we conceded in the 62nd minute.
Yeah.
And we made the substitution in the 67th. I think when, okay, I was taken aback when he took Silva off, but when you know, within a minute or two, and you start to think, well, hang on, it's Hwang Neto with Jimenez up front. Like, yeah. What's wrong with that? The young fella has had 60, so he hasn't laid a glove. You know, he's put himself about, but he hasn't really had a sniff of a goal or anything like that. I mean, 19, what's harm in bringing him off after 67 minutes? I didn't think there was, you know, once I actually sat down and thought about it, I didn't think it was, you know, that ridiculous. Jimenez, he's back, give him a shot at it for 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, but I think from the point of view...
We fell a fucking apart. Yeah. We fell apart. We know how to hold the ball up for this. It was absolutely, to me, crazy. It was another case, and I said this on a few occasions.
That's the quality of the players, Mick.
No, listen. He has a problem with young players.
How do you know that?
Because he doesn't seem to be playing them. But he's having a go. Listen, I tell you what, if you read his articles, he's a great man to go to the papers and put the articles in. And he's on about tough love with the kids, with the young fellas. It'll make them better. Now, the thing is, and I go, when he took Silva off yesterday, the whole bottom for our team, and we went back to similar to what we'd done at home against Brentford. We looked a shambles. Yeah. No, and the reason for this, guys, the reason this is, they're spending the last 2 weeks on the training pitch. And what you were seeing all the time from the training pitch was Silva walking with Jimenez. I thought he was going to go with the two of them up front. Yeah. I had no problems with that. So he's spending 2 weeks doing that and working hard on that. And then when something happens, he takes the player off and all that work just got out the fucking window. Because it's just throw the ball forward, get men forward, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
There was no logic to it.
Mick, the question...
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, the question I'd ask, Mick, I have to be honest, I don't think it's ever worked for us. I mean, I'm not a big fan of this changing the system or the formation, you know, with 20 minutes to go, which he did again yesterday. He did it in one of the home games lately as well. I think it was the Leeds game. But, you know, like you go out with the... If it doesn't work... I mean, there's nothing to suggest the system wasn't working yesterday. We were well on top in the first half. We were up until the goal. But, I mean, that's players... And that's players' heads. After they scored, the heads went down. You know, I mean, that's not...
As a coach, okay, you put your best team out there and the team that can get the results.
Yeah.
We were the third best team scoring goals in 22, up to about 3 weeks ago. He was playing a different system.
Yeah.
Now, go back to the Leeds match. Oh, it was not the Leeds match. Oh, sorry. The Aston Villa match.
Yeah.
He tried to play that system again he had yesterday and he had it against, what do you call it, against Newcastle.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he changed that again, Villa, that we got the 3 goals. Well, we got a goal for Hwang was taken off, but we got the other 2 shortly after. So if you look back at when we've played 1 up front, or even 2 up front, and played the 5 or the 6 in the middle, see how many games we have won and how many goals we've scored.
Yeah.
And then what you've got to do, you've got to have the system to suit the players you have.
Well, because
he's trying to play the system he wants to play. Fair enough if you have the players.
As you were saying, Mick, I mean, it was mentioned yesterday by the commentary team where I was watching the match yesterday. And, I mean, it was a frightening stat. I actually put it up on the group with the lads afterwards. Like, I mean, that Villa game, it's the only game where we've gone behind and we actually came back and got anything, never mind won the game. But we haven't. When we've gone a goal down... We've got a bar that game. We've got nothing out of the game. So I mean, is that the players? Is that the players or the manager?
Tony, you're actually agreeing with me there, because what did he do in the Villa match? He changed. He took off the forward and he went with more midfielders, and we ran the shite out of Villa in the last 10 or 15 minutes, and we scored the goals. You're exactly saying what I'm saying.
Well, in fairness, Mick, there's a lot of shite to run out of Villa anyway, you know. But anyway, yeah. But I mean, but in all the games, look at Newcastle. I mean, there was every reason in the world for changing the team and changing everything the way they were playing that day. I mean,
just on Newcastle.
Hmm.
They didn't have any other players to play, and I said at the time, why did they switch Johnny across to the left side? Why did they bring Semedo in? And what did he do yesterday?
That's what he did yesterday.
Exactly that.
You must be. Are you in touch with him?
No. No, I'm not. I tell you what, it'll tell you how fucking stupid he is. What?
Maybe he's not anymore.
You know what I mean? But it's exactly. I said to you last week, Tony, you asked a question about Borny. How do you think it got? And yeah. I said, I'd wait till I see what laptop Lanny you fucking picked. And what system he got with.
Mick, I think you need to give up the laptop thing, because I mean
he didn't have it yesterday.
He had a notebook yesterday.
Everybody like uses technology, Mick. I mean
we know that, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, but I'm no problem. There's technology on the side of the pitch. The other lads have the stuff there. I don't have a problem with that. I'm talking around. I don't see the likes of Pep. I don't see what you call it. The likes of fucking Klopp. Having a look through this thing and see. You know, what do we do next here?
Yeah, but you I mean, know, Mick,
go, yeah,
Mick,
what do we do next?
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, right. Mick, I'm not wanting to dwell on it, but I mean, I think that's for Sky and BT, all these iPads and laptops in, because I mean, I've yet to see a player, a manager there with a player going on with 10 minutes to go, and he's doing all this and showing them all this, and he goes out on the pitch, you know.
The players get on.
They're not even listening. They're probably not even listening to him.
Yeah, but most of them cases, it's the what you call it, the backup team, the you know, if the goalkeeper's coach or those lads, and I can understand that taking up positions, you know, for corners and things like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I can understand that. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
but I'm just talking about to make decisions. You've got to be looking at the game and thinking about your game. I said a perfect example, like. You look at Klopp, you look at even Dulwich and Nuno. He'd just stand there, he'd rub the beard, and he's thinking. And I don't understand, but look, it's part of his figures.
But come here, I mean, our big problem in the last few games is scoring goals. What's your view on Raul? I mean, not even in recently, but since that injury last year. Is he going to get back on track, do you think? Or
I just can't. I think he's getting worse. Like, he's looking. I thought there was a point there in the game yesterday where I thought this is going to kick off because the two of them fell over one another or something. And then the boots,
wasn't
so much boots going in, but there were legs tangled up, whatever. And he nearly got sent off in another game. I think it might have been, I can't remember what game it was actually, when he nearly did the same that he did in the City game, kicked the ball away.
Yeah.
All the way on a yellow card. So I had a hard time watching the game yesterday, but I don't think he did an awful lot yesterday myself.
No. That thing is standing in front of the keeper, like it's so fucking childish. It's just unreal. And I just thought he had a very poor game. He had an incredible chance in the first half for a tap in with his left foot. Yeah. And you know, he made an absolute mess of it, like, you know. I thought he had from where he's come from, he's really gone down.
Yeah.
You know, is it the injury? Possibly. Yeah. He looked like he hadn't an ounce of confidence anyway, put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I put it down to, he's not happy, and he's obviously confused what's going on, and I would be too, trying to play up front. And I'm going to tell you, if he keeps persisting with playing that three up front, we can wave goodbye to win any more games.
Yeah. Okay, but come here on the players like that, Raul. But with Neto, doesn't seem to be making much of an impact coming on now. Do you think that knee injury is still affecting him, or is he trying to recover from it? Or he doesn't seem to have the pace.
I think the crowd picked Neto first of all. I don't know whether that applied any pressure to the management.
The manager,
The crowd was singing for Neto, and again, I thought he had a. Really average, like he's still extremely clumsy and looks a bit overweight, and he can't turn a player at the moment, like, you know.
Yeah.
And he was involved in the goal we conceded, wasn't he? He was back there, well, you could say on the one hand is a good thing, but he didn't help very much, you know.
Well, Steve was saying last night that we're improved under Bruno. To me, we've gone fucking way back.
Yeah,
I mean, my view on it is like if you go back to. It's, you know, we got seventh by the skin of our teeth the first season with Nuno, and it was brilliant.
Gary, we didn't. That's not true.
We got by the skin of our teeth, Mick, because Watford lost. That's how we got it, right? And then the second year, we got 59 points, seventh again. And then last year, we collapsed. So this year...
No, we didn't collapse last year.
I reckon,
Gary, we lost 37 goals last year.
We were 13th with 45 points. So, look.
Yes. But we lost 47 goals out of a team in the one season.
So,
yeah.
At the start of this season, we had a new manager. And I think if anybody had have offered me 7th or 8th, 8th is going to be, if we're lucky now, it could be 9th. If anyone had offered 8th at the start of the season, I'd have bit their hand off. Definitely. Yeah. And the fact we got 3 games, he changed his way of doing things. He wanted 4 at the back. He hasn't been able to do that with the players we've got. He's adjusting to the players we've got. And I think he's took us to where we are. That's my opinion on it. He's got us the 8th place. And for a while he nearly had this, he had the pundits talking about 4th.
Yeah.
When did he got that, Gary?
We were never really good enough for that, though.
Now, come here. When he changed the feckin' system, the Troy played 3 up front. It's when the bottom has fallen out with the feckin'. I've traveled all, as with Tony and yourselves have done a lot of traveling this year. And we've gone to places, we've gone to City, we've gone all of it, and we never looked our place. Any of those games. Yeah. So I don't go with this that we got in with the skin of the teeth. That's bollocks. Yeah. For the last four seasons, three of them, we were in seventh. Last season was a particularly difficult season. Reason? Because we had a 14-month season just before it. Yeah. And we lost 37 goals out of the same.
Yeah.
We lost Jota, we lost Doherty, and we lost Jimenez. And then we lost, who else did we lose? We lost Neto. And don't tell me that if Tottenham hadn't got what they call a Harry Kane, they wouldn't be anywhere up where they are at the moment. Yeah. And that's what happened last year, nothing else. And we never in any danger last year.
Well, we probably were a little bit at one stage. We went in the bad run, but
we sacrificed the FA Cup to make sure we didn't go down, Mick.
Which?
We sacrificed the FA Cup to make sure we didn't go down.
Southampton. Yeah.
How do you mean?
No, he played a makeshift team against Southampton at home. It was a home in the cup, and then we went down there and we beat them then the following weekend and got 3 points and that kind of. Yeah. Like people, like if we were in 8th, Mick, 20 points ahead of the relegation zone with 10 matches to go, people would still be looking over their shoulder. But no, I do remember around that time, we all had our differences on whether it was the right decision or not to make. But but people were talking big time about being under threat or a chance of relegation.
But you hear that for most of the second season anyway.
I know, yeah. But it definitely was a pessimistic shower.
But we've established ourselves as a side, definitely capable of being in the top 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
And we could have, my big disappointment this year, and I'm actually gutted, we should have, and we were quite capable of being in the top 4.
Yeah.
When you take the 6 points that we threw away, that 9 points now in the trot we've thrown away in the last 3, 4 games.
Yeah.
That's a tribute to the manager, Mick. To say that we could have been 4th is a tribute to the manager, because there was never any sign before he...
No, what I'm saying, Gary, is we had the players that was capable of getting us there. Yeah. But we won't be there because I attribute that to the manager.
But Mick, I
don't see him here next year.
I couldn't agree with that. But what nobody's mentioned, and there's one player. Like you mentioned, Harry Kane with Spurs. We haven't had Neves for the last 3 games, and he's a huge loss for us. I mean, we'd have no problem. We would have picked up something in both of those games, Newcastle and yesterday, if he was playing. And whatever about creating chances, but he's a great player. Like you saw. As we mentioned earlier, the Villa game, Mick, he played a couple of balls in that changed, that made the game for us. He scored a free kick to win the game. Looking back, and if we're talking about questioning the manager and team spirit or whatever, you look at the reaction of the players that day. We were in the corner when they came over put the equaliser and the winner. I mean, unless something has gone terribly wrong in the last 5 months, I don't think there's anything wrong with the way he's doing the job and with the team spirit. And that's what, and I mean, he came in after Nuno. I mean, that was a huge, huge job, huge pair of boots to fill. And I think he's put his own little stamp on the team. He's been tied because he didn't get players. he didn't get any players. Huang, you were saying Huang is the only player he's brought in and he keeps playing him. I don't know, Mick, because he hasn't got a beard.
He's the only manager I know that's come into a club and didn't bring anybody with him. And the only player he's brought in, he keeps playing him and he's not good enough for the moment. Now, to me, Huang is a number 10. That's why you're playing, to get the best out of Huang.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. But what I'm saying is, he is the only player I've never seen in any time that's come in and come in with so few players. The two or three they went after refused to come in with him.
That's players, you know. Anyway, come here. Just to finish off, Brighton on Saturday. What's the... Go on. Tell me what you think.
Brighton won at Burnley, by the way. So the top six won at Burnley and Brighton as well.
Yeah.
So Brighton
are a bit hit and miss. I think they can...
Even yesterday.
Recently they've won at Spurs and won at Arsenal, haven't they? So they...
Yeah. But they were two up until
2-0 lead away yesterday.
Yeah, so... And they've had a bad run up until the Arsenal and Spurs wins. I think they'd lost about six out of seven, something like that. You know, so they're a bit like ourselves. I think.
Bogey team for us, are they? Because I know we won down there, but I've been to a few Brighton games and we never seem to. I remember we got relegated there. Did we one season we got relegated?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but that was into League One, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
Yeah, but
yeah.
But Michael, I'll leave the last word with you. There's a surprise. What do you think of Saturday?
I don't know. I go again, look at what he's going to throw up front. But Pedence may be back. I know he is a big player, but he's going to play Pedence. He's got to go with the 5 or 6 in midfield.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy with that. But you know, I just had the game, it's one extra thing in the game. We've got to take a hats off to the Irish set of half of Burnley. He was
Collins.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Collins. Yeah. I think he paid $5 million for him off Stoke.
It was the Stoke he bought, yeah. And then you came
in. He's a fantastic player. I thought him and Silver were having a great ding dong affair.
Yeah.
And it was a good battle. But I must say, I thought he had a good game. But I don't know if they're going to push them up with three and push up. I don't know whether Dunk is still fucking. Play. Is he injured or Duffy or that? But you can't be pushing your forwards up on top of them fellas. You need to be running at them.
They can
run into you very quickly too.
But we're all over. Are we all over? Yeah.
That's being.
Yeah. Everyone over Saturday? Yeah. Gary.
Garrett's going. I'm not.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then. I wish you the best for the next week, and you can follow us on irishwolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.